The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else, believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Your priest is back with you after a quick little break to catch my breath. After Easter, back with you here to celebrate the feast of the apostles, Philip and James. Okay, now let's remember when we celebrate the feast of the apostles that we've got the apostles in our own altar. Okay, let's not forget our 12 apostles relic. You want to take a look at the apostle Philip? You can picture our 12 apostles relic as being like the face of a clock. Philip is up at about 12 o'clock, and the relic of James is down around 7 o'clock. Okay, so we're right here in our altar. We also have two little statuettes of Philip and James here in our altar. They're paired together, as they are in the scriptures, which is why they're celebrated today together as a feast day. And you'll see Philip holding a cross and James holding a scroll. The reason Philip is holding a cross is because that was his ultimate act of witness to Jesus. He was crucified. They say that it was in Cappadocia, in central Turkey. That's how he met his ultimate act of witness to the Lord. And James is holding a scroll because James is the author of the letter of St. James, one of my favorite writings in the whole New Testament. And they say that James ultimately witnessed to Christ by being stoned to death in the city of Jerusalem, in which he served as its first bishop. Now, Philip is known in the scriptures as somebody who always brings people to Jesus. And if you have to go down in history being remembered for something, that's a darn good thing to be remembered for. Philip's always bringing people to Jesus. He sees Nathanael. He says, come along with me. I've found the Messiah. And a group of Greek speakers from Bethsaida in Galilee say, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." And it's Philip who says, "Come along with me." And Philip leads them to Jesus. Now, James, he's one of two apostles, James, and James is known as James the Lesser. I'm not sure I'd want to go down in history as the Lesser, okay? And why is he the Lesser? Well, a few theories on that. First of all, he was not one of the three who was closest to Jesus, Peter and James and John. He wasn't that James. So that's one reason why. Some say he's known as the Lesser because he was younger. Some say because he was shorter. And that's the only thing we know about these apostles. So when you come across a feast day, very big celebration in our church, about saints about whom we know almost nothing, we have to understand that this isn't so much about these two apostles as it is about apostleship itself. Important lesson for us to remember in the very idea of apostleship. And that is, we need to remember that Jesus himself chose frail men riddled with faults to lead his church. That's what Jesus himself did. And the weaknesses of the apostles are proof that no human frailty or weakness is enough to undermine a divine promise that Jesus has made to protect his church. These apostles were not special, and that's probably why they were chosen. No particular talents or abilities, no particular intelligence, no wealth, no social connections, no social standing. By every reasonable judgment, probably ordinary in appearance. Most of them unlettered fishermen plucked off the shore of the Sea of Galilee. I like to imagine that if Jesus was founding a church today, he might take a stock boy from Walmart, right? Or a forklift operator off a construction site, or a truck driver. Salt of the earth, right? Utterly ordinary people. So the glory could be given to God alone. That has to be one of the greatest reasons. But Jesus saw something in these guys. And in spite of all their faults, he gave them a divine promise that the gates of the netherworld would not prevail against the church. We want to trust in that promise. Because, you know, in our own time, the church is riddled with faults and very, very weak and frail men. Find solace and comfort in the scriptures. That's part of the reason why the faults of the apostles are on such prominent display. Like, look at Philip here in the Gospels. Just show me the Father, Jesus, and that'll be enough for me. It's a little minor miracle. That's all I ask, God. I'm not asking for very much, right? Haven't you made that prayer? Just give me a little miracle. You've got to love the human weakness of that. But that's nothing like James. James is walking through Samaritan territory, enemy territory, and turns to Jesus and says, Lord, can't you just send fire down from heaven to destroy them all? You've got to love the weakness in that. Maybe in the privacy of your own thoughts, you've said, God, why don't you just smite all my enemies? You know, just a little tiny request. And then there's Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. And then there's Judas, who denied Jesus all the way to the point of despair. But God saw something in them. And in spite of their weakness, he made a promise that the gates of the netherworld would not prevail against the church. Right here in this gospel, the story you just heard, mere hours away from Jesus' own death. God knows all things. He knows that these apostles are about to betray him. They're all going to run for fear. And yet look how gentle he is with each one of them. Because he sees something in them. He knows who he's chosen. He sees their potential and he protects them with the Holy Spirit, and the rest is history. These are the most tumultuous times I've ever seen in the church. Bishop against bishop and cardinal against cardinal. And then there's Pope Francis. Everyone wonders, where are you leading us? And what are you going to say next? What's going to happen next? And you want to understand that the same promise that Jesus made is still valid today. Trust, choose to trust in the promise of our Lord and in the protection of the Holy Spirit, and that is where you will find faith. That's the advantage of a feast day like today. Feast day of St. Philip and James, 2 very ordinary guys protected by an extraordinary promise that we can still trust in. Let's ask for their prayers to help us and to help the whole church today. Saints Philip and James, pray for us.